put the phone on airplane mode, stick the autoresponder on your email, lock yourself in a room. It's the Queen stage of this year's Tour de France. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Well, folks, welcome back to the Roadman Podcast. I hope everybody has had a great day. I want to start off this podcast with airing my frustration. Anyone who's a regular listener, you'll know that this podcast, it's more than cycling news. It's my internal stream of consciousness. I think W.B. Yeats had that coined that phrase, stream of consciousness. Now, I'm borrowing it from the great Irish literary man. Today, I had a busy day. I was hopping around the city. I had a couple of meetings to do. I had a couple of Zoom calls. And I just knew I wasn't going to get to sit and watch in uninterrupted footage of this year's Queen's Stage, Stage 13 of the Tour de France. So I said to myself, instead of watching it in piecemeal and not getting the full effect, I'm going to switch off my mobile phone. I'm going to stick it on airplane mode. I'm going to avoid social media sites and the like. And I'm going to watch it on Eurosport Player later on this evening. I got home later on this evening. I flick into my Eurosport Player. And guess what Eurosport have stuck as the thumbnail for the fucking stage that I've waited all day to watch? Spoiler alert, they've stuck the winner of the stage in the thumbnail. You miserable bastards. You ruined my day. So I wanted to start off the podcast on that sour note and just say Eurosport. Ugh! If there's not a word for it, it's a sound more than a word. It comes from the soul. So there you go. I'm going to jump into this podcast. But before I do, I would ask you all to head on over to patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. That's the way you support this podcast. Everyone sends me DMs and they say, I love the podcast. How can I support it? And that's how you can support it. That's how I love the idea of Patreon. It's the non-reliance on a single brand, no one having creative control. And at this point in the podcast's evolution, that's where we're at. No one brand has creative control on this podcast. It's you guys, the listeners, that determine the creative direction, obviously along with myself. So if you think you're getting enough value out of this to buy me a coffee, I'd encourage you to not give your money to Eurosport, their shitty thumbnail creator, but instead jump on over to patreon.com. I'm going to stick a link below. You can buy me a coffee, buy me a beer. Unfortunately, it's like €5 a month. It won't extend to a beer in Ireland because at the moment you need to buy a beer with a toasted cheese sandwich because somehow there's magical ingredients in toasted cheese sandwiches and they protect you from COVID-19. But that is a discussion for another day. We had a big break going today, but before we had that, we had the best team in this year's Tour de France, Jumbo-Visma, the Alpha Males, setting a horribly relentless pace in the first hour of racing, and it chopped the legs out of a lot of people. So when the break did go, the break went with real contenders. And at the business end of the break, we had three riders still left on our summit finish today, and they were Shachman from Bora Hansgrove, Kamna from Bora Hansgrove, and Martinez from EF Education. Now, if there wasn't a thumbnail with Martinez, I would have been left with intrigue until the final meters of this one. Because we had Shachman out front and Kamna catching a ride off Martinez all the way up. But it just went to show you that you shouldn't be daunted by that 2-on-1 setup. Because Martinez, he had the belief to know on the steep gradients, the Colombian born at altitude, knew when it pitched up in the last 2 kilometers of this race that he had what it took to shake off the two guys. And he did. It took till the closing meters to really shake the guys. And but fair play to Shachman, because the Bora rider Shachman, he was riding with a taped up collarbone. And I know we're in this age where we trivialize accidents and go, it's just a collarbone. And he crashed in Lombardy, where a spectator pulled out, if you remember, in the closing kilometers, and he nailed himself. Like, how does a car in the closing kilometers of a race like Lombardy? I don't know. But he nailed himself and he broke his collarbone. And I've been that soldier in, I think it was 2013. I broke a collarbone Jeez, I've broke that many collarbones now. I'm struggling to even think where I broke this collarbone. I broke a collarbone in a criterium in Delray Beach. That makes me sound all windswept and exotic. And that was especially, that was my most spectacular crash, because I hit an off camber corner on cobbles on a Saturday night race with beer spilt on it. I went over the barriers and into some girl's dinner table that was sitting down enjoying a nice beachside dinner. So I definitely ruined their evening. I'm breaking collarbone pretty much around my evening. I tried to race the Ross, and that was, I think, 4 weeks later, and I'd had the operation on the collarbone, and I'd heard this trivial language like, oh, it's just a collarbone, get it pinned. I raced the Ross, I got around the 8 days. Let me tell you, it hurts like a motherfucker every time you hit a pothole, every time you try and reach for your bottle, reach for your pocket. So to think that Shackman's back at the front of some of the biggest races in the world 4 weeks after breaking his collarbone, hats off, buddy. It just goes to show how hard these lads are. In my opinion, the hardest athletes in the world. They hit the concrete and they bounce and they get up and they never ask a question. It's just part of the job. As the French would say, it's le métier, the work ethic and the dedication of just hitting that concrete and bouncing up. The race behind, we had two races. We had that up front where we had Martinez pulling away from the two boys for a Colombian win. Chapeau, Colombians. They didn't have it all their way back in the main battle, the GC battle, because we had my favourite moment of the Tour de France so far. We had the Ineos Grenadiers, finally the pre-race favourites, coming to the front and imposing themselves on the front of this bike race. They have former world champion Kwiatkowski hits the front. Carapaz, the Giro champion, comes through. And Jumbo roll up on them. And after Carapaz has whacked it full gas, Jumbo roll up, still four guys in the group. Tom Dumoulin gives him this look, and it was like a look of lasers coming out of his eyes, and he just looked at him as much to say, it was like Rocky looking at Apollo Creed and just looking at him up and down and going, is that all you have? Yeah, step aside, buddy. Let the big boys go to work. And then the Jumbo train, the four boys hit the front and they ripped shit to pieces. And the only man left in this year's race that can attack and stick it up to Jumbo Visma, it's Pogačar. And he done it again, and he whacked it on the steep gradients, got that separation, and we had a Slovenian, it's almost like they're working as teammates at the moment, Pogačar and Roglic, they were coming in, decimated the rest of the bunch. Colombians are coming in just behind. We've Quintana, we've Bernal, we've Uran. Quintana incidentally had a bad crash today, as did, it was a bad day for the French, Bardet crashed with Quintana, but it turns out Bardet has actually left the Tour de France now with a concussion. We talked about concussions yesterday. They're not to be joked about. They're taken seriously these days, and they're the injury you can't see. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. You just don't know when you recover from them. So hopefully, you know, thoughts with Bardet, and you know, if he's listening, bon chance on the recovery, Bardet. It's a nasty one, so hopefully he's all right. Quintana actually pieced himself back together okay, and he finished with Bernal, who's definitely shown signs of weakness. And you got to think, the Ineos bus, like, think about the momentum in the two different buses going home. You have the Jumbo Visma guys, they must be just on a high, because Ineos threw everything they had at them on a stage where we anticipated Bernal coming to the front, the defending champion, imposing himself on this race. And instead, like, the team talk before the race would have been, okay, Carapaz, you take it up, make people suffer. Bernal, you kick off that. This is the big moment. And to think when Carapaz's lieutenant attacks that there's four Jumbo Visma lads still there, that's a real momentum swinger. And we know in sport that the breaking ball, the rub of the green, they call it in golf, you know, strikers in football, it's just one bouncing in off your shin. Momentum, it's a cruel beast. And the momentum is definitely with Jumbo Visma at the moment. Behind, we had some riders who are, you know, no one's talking too much about them, but they're riding well. Richie Porte, Landa, and Superman Lopez were best of the rest behind, and they didn't give away that many seconds, a handful of seconds, to the two Slovenians. We're set for a super battle. Roglic looks like he's just cruising at the moment, and his only rival looks to be Tadej Pogačar, the 22-year-old, who's, honestly, he's James Nestor. We talked about breeding recently in a recent podcast, and the idea of nose breeding. Pogačar looks like he's nose breeding on these climbs. He just looks at ease, and for a 22-year-old, the maturity he's shown on and off the bike, it's brilliant. Bernal lost 36 seconds today. Podjakar has stepped up to second on GC now, and he's at 44 seconds. And when you think about, we've a lot of hard racing left to go, and the second last day before we get to Paris, remember Paris is traditionally a neutralized stage where it's a procession and we drink some champagne, and I say we, like I'm there with the lads, like I've put in the hard work, and I'm sitting at home here just finished eating meatballs, and I'm saying we, cop yourself on, and the lads get into Paris. That's traditionally a neutralized stage, so the last stage proper is the Saturday before Paris, and it's a mountain time trial. If Tadej Pogačar is within striking distance, 10-15 seconds on this, we could have a historic Saturday. Like, I'm thinking back, I wasn't old enough to enjoy it at the time, but, you know, as a cycling fan, a historian of cycling, I've loved that footage, as I'm sure you have, of Greg LeMond on the time trial, and when Greg LeMond against Laurent Fignon, where Greg LeMond became the first American to win the Tour de France, and that epic footage we've seen. Like, we could be in for a repeat of this. This is just such a finely poised Tour de France. I can't wait. Today's Queen Stage did not disappoint. It was absolutely epic. Thanks for joining me for the recap of this stage. And you know what? You know what now? I'm going to be back tomorrow for Stage 14 of the Tour de France. Tomorrow looks set for... It's finely balanced between sprinters and breakaway day. I'm going to call it as Cousins or Cousins, however you pronounce it, as the winner for tomorrow. It's for me, it's a breakaway, but who knows the way the green jersey's been contested this year. Don't forget to head on over to patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. If you're anything like me, you always put this stuff off. I know I support the Blind Boy podcast and a bunch of other podcasts, and I do support independent creators because I think it's right that they're paid for their work. And if you're anything like me, you will have put that decision off for a long, long time. So now I'd ask you to channel this mantra we've had through the tour, is just to do it now. Just as the podcast finishes, head on over to Patreon and get that piece of business done. And I will join you again tomorrow. Ride safe out there, road man. I'll chat to you then.